Okay. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and no lie, but we're on the ninth one. Some of you will get that when you get home. Okay, some of you just got it. All right, so this is really the fifth commandment of the second portion of the Ten Commandments, which the first four really dealing with our relationship with God. The final six is our relationship with one another. And so this is to the second to the last commandment, the ninth overall, and I've entitled it The Truth About Lying. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Okay, so in other words, very simply stated, you shall not lie. Lying actually started, lying is what started the sin problem from the very beginning, as Satan said to Eve in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, "You will not surely die." In other words, Satan was saying, God didn't say that you would die if you ate from this tree. And in the process, he was lying about God. Since then, lying has become an epidemic. Lying is a normal way in which our world functions. We joke about this in the sense that we say that politicians, or being a politician, is synonymous with being a liar. And that certainly may be the case in many cases. But this is not just a politician issue. It's not just a politician problem. One study I was just looking at this week said, and this is from 2022, said that they found that the average person lies four times a day. Hopefully that's not the case of us as believers. I think this is one of those sins that seems to be of less concern, perhaps because it's a little more subtle, maybe a little more private, because we don't see the immediate consequences of it. However, lying can bring devastation, and we'll talk about what that looks like. But what I want to do tonight is, for the most part, I'm going to give you a ton of scripture. I'm going to give you a boatload of scripture, actually. And even in that is not all that the Bible has to say about the subject of lying. But this is one of those topics in the Bible that is very clear for us, very concise for us, and hopefully very convicting as we hear the Word of God. So what I've tried to do tonight is just organize and outline these verses in a way that hopefully will make it simple to understand as to what the Scriptures say. So first of all, what is a lie? Lying is, and again, I'm just going to give you this particular definition, is that lying is intentionally or deliberately deceiving others from the truth by stating something that is false. Okay, it's intentionally or deliberately deceiving others from the truth by stating something that is false. As a Christian, it's even more than that. Okay, we're to understand that lying is a sin against God. It is to make a mockery of God, because God is a God of truth. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." Okay? And so as believers, we represent a God of truth. On the other hand, lying is associated with Satan, who is the father of lies. John 8:44 says, "There is no truth in him," referring to Satan. "When he lies, he speaks out of his own character." It's who he is. He's a liar, for he is a liar and is the father of lies. Have you ever noticed, as a parent, this is one of the first sins you deal with your little kids? You don't have to teach your two-year-old the art of lying. That cute little baby that you brought into the world is a lying, depraved lawbreaker. Did you know that? Because when you ask them, did you push your sister over while you watched him push his sister over? He says, no, I didn't do it. It's just, it's natural even for a two-year-old to default to the sin of lying. And just in case you don't think your child fits that category, let me read for you Psalm 58, verse 3. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. All right? So we all fit the category. I think for the most part, lying is a sin that tries to cover up or hide other sin. Because if you've cheated on your taxes, you don't want anybody to know about it, and therefore, if you're asked about it, of course you're going to lie to cover it up. If you have a responsibility to do something at work or at home or whatever that is, and you don't do it, and you don't feel like doing it, but you don't want anybody else to know that you didn't do it, and if you're asked about it, you will have to lie to cover it up. And that is really true of any other sin that you try to cover up. You're going to lie to cover it up. And so lying just complicates the problem, complicates other sins perhaps that we've committed. We're told in Proverbs 6, verses 17 through 19, that a lying tongue, or one who lies about others, is in a category belonging to these other things. Let me just read them. Belonging to those who have haughty eyes, which is pride, shedding innocent blood, devising wicked plans, running to evil, and sowing discord among the brothers. Those are all things listed for us that it says God hates those things. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Okay? Lying is a serious thing before the Lord. Let me just read you one example that I want to take out of the New Testament, and you'll recognize the story, but the theme underneath it is the lying that took place, and it's the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Well, it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this in your heart, this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. A great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. When the young man came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. I would think so, right? Now, after reading that, that does not mean that if you lie, you die. If that was the case, most of the world would be dead, right? But I think at the least we can say that God takes lying very, very seriously. Now, I think one of the things that we often do or try to do sometimes is we try to recategorize or redefine or use different terminology, maybe to make lying a little more friendly. Maybe we use the term that they're little white lies, or that they're half-truths, or it's just a fib. Let me just give you a few examples. When somebody calls and the bill, you haven't paid your bill on time, and they call because it's overdue, and you say to them, the check is in the mail. When in reality, it's actually not in the mail, and you hadn't intended in putting it in the mail even over the next number of days. How about companies that say we service what we sell when they have no intention to back up their products? Or the place that says, give me your number and we'll call you right back, when they have no intention to do that. That drives most of us nuts, right? The offers limited, some special offer that's limited to the first 100 people who call in. All they're just using that as a market scheme, right? To try to sell their product, but they're really lying in order to market their product. Or how about leave your resume with us and we'll keep it on file? Well, of course, there's no intention to do anything with the resume. I'm sure they're just going to throw it in a burn pile eventually, but we say things that we don't mean. And sometimes we put it into categories that maybe don't seem like they're that big of a deal. Another one is the whole issue of exaggeration, because exaggeration is really another form of lying as well, where we add details and flower up a story with things that are not true to somehow impress the people that are hearing the story and make ourselves try to look better than what we really are. Lying can also include saying things that God does not say. Proverbs 30, verse 6, do not add to his words, God's words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Okay? Second question, why do people lie? There's a number of reasons that people lie. We obviously know that sin is the underlying reason as to why people lie, but beyond that, what sin does to us is a number of things. One is people want to protect themselves. Okay, maybe they didn't live up to someone's expectation, or they did something wrong and they don't want to disappoint someone, or they don't want to face the consequences of their actions, and so they try to cover that up to protect themselves. Scripture speaks to this, I noticed, in a particular way to those that have power. And I think we see that in our culture today, that those that have power maybe perhaps have a greater temptation to lie. And I think that's often the case. But here's just a number of verses. Psalm 62, verse 4. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood or lying. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Psalm 52, verse 3, and again, this is speaking of a ruler or someone in a high position. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. Proverbs 29, verse 12. If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. In other words, when a ruler is a liar, he will surround himself with more liars. I could think of a lot of examples, which we don't have time for tonight. Another reason people lie is because they think it will get them what they want. If I lie, it will get me my promotion. If I lie, it will get certain people to like me. If I lie, it will be to my financial advantage. If I lie, I'll have more time to do what I want to do. Proverbs 21, verse 6 says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. You might think it's going to get you ahead, but it's actually not. Another reason people lie is because they hate. Lying about others is grounded in hate. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18 says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips." And so a natural aspect of hate is the willingness to use a blatant lie or deception against somebody else. Proverbs 26, verse 28, "A lying tongue hates its victims." So what happens when I lie? Well, in a large category, it does a lot of damage. Let me just give you a few of them. First of all, it does damage to you if you're the one who's lying. Sin destroys us because sin is in opposition to God. And that's certainly a universal principle that we can apply to almost any sin, right? And like any sin, it can ruin you if you don't deal with it. It continues to get worse if you don't deal with it. Lying is a sin. And again, I think, as I mentioned earlier, lying is a sin that is perhaps in our minds more subtle than other sins. And in that subtlety, though, it can be maybe even more dangerous because we don't think much about it, and as we don't think much about it, we do it more often, and it continues to stack up. It's said that lying has no legs to stand on. The only thing it has to stand on is more lies. But as those lies pile up, it's like a cancer that continues to spread in your body. It will just continue to do more and more and more damage in our lives. I think that's why it's so important, and just thinking through this, of how important it is as parents to address this, especially when our children are younger. I think sometimes parents might look at that and say, well, it's really not that big of a deal. It seems to be harmless at that age. And sometimes I even see people laugh it off a little bit. It's kind of cute, almost. It's not a cute thing. It's a very destructive thing. And if the sin of lying is not addressed quickly and rapidly with a young child, what might appear to be cute at some point becomes a monster down the road, which becomes much, much more difficult to deal with. And just something that we have to be constantly aware of, I think, as parents, because we live in a world that is just saturated with lies, and we can become so used to it if we're not careful. So it destroys us. It destroys also our relationships. Okay, our friendships, our relationships are built on trust, right? And so when we lie to one another or about one another, we will break that trust. We will cripple unity. And that trust, of course, can be restored at some point, but it certainly will take time and integrity to do so. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices." The third thing that it does is it ruins our testimony. Lying represents Satan. It does not represent God. And so when you claim to be a Christian, and yet on the other hand, if you become known to be a liar, people will want nothing to do with God and nothing to do with Christianity. Let me just read a few verses out of 1 John chapter 1. That speak to this. It says, "This is the message," beginning in verse 5, "this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's really dealing with hypocrisy there. The fourth thing I wanted to mention in regard to what lying does is it sears our conscience. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 tell us, where it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." You see, lying can very quickly become habitual, and in the process can become almost natural, where we're not even thinking about it anymore. We're so good at it, and we do it so often, we don't even think about it. And when it gets to that point, our conscience then becomes numb to the sin of lying. And for some people, it even gets to the point where they actually believe their own lives. That's how demented and how messed up lying can get within our own hearts. And at that point, your heart becomes hard. And when our hearts become hard, then we become susceptible to every other sin that's out there. What can I do then, and what should we do to not lie or to stop lying? And you may be here tonight, and that's maybe a problem. It's a habit. It's a real struggle for you. Let me give you a number of things here to finish this off. Number one is to repent and be saved. And I start with this because habitual lying is characteristic of an unbeliever. And we see that in Scripture. Let me just give you a couple references here. One is Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. And it's talking about, and this is at the very end, about those who will be in glory and in heaven in contrast to those who won't. And it says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates." And then in verse 15, it says, "Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." So habitual liars are associated as being unbelievers. Psalm 101 verse 7 says, "He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me." And so it is salvation through faith that our hearts are transformed from our sinful ways, and that includes the ways of lying, habitual lying. When you're truly converted, your heart at that point gravitates towards truth, not deception and lies. And so the new self is to put on a new wardrobe. We've been learning about that in Colossians, and throwing off the dirty clothes, including things like lying. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have the ability to do that. Ephesians 4:24 says, "Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And so truth, being a person of truth, begins at salvation. Now, it doesn't mean we don't struggle with it sometimes. We'll get to that here in just a second. But it begins with salvation. Second, we need to know that lying will always catch up with us. You might think you can hide it, but it, but you ultimately can't hide it. The sin of lying always leaves a trail behind. Where I grew up on the West Coast, there's a lot of rain and there is a lot of forest, and it is the perfect environment for the largest slugs you've ever seen in your life. Okay? Now, you guys have, we have slugs here in Michigan, but, you know, most of them are probably like that big. If you go to where I grew up, you'll find slugs that are that big, and they're about that round. There's some huge things. Where my mom lives, there's some running trails that are kind of just off the path kind of from her house, and sometimes we'll go running there as a family, and these are kind of paved areas, and you can always tell where the slugs have been. You know why? Because of the slime trail that they leave behind. Or they might be out there, all right. They might be out there, they might have left the trail behind. But you can always tell. And that's exactly what lying does. It leaves a trail behind. And so we need to be afraid of lying. We need to be afraid of its consequences in a healthy way. We need to have a greater fear of God in regard to lying than a fear of getting caught for something that tempts you to lie. We should be more afraid of what God thinks about it than being afraid of getting caught about lying. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Okay? You might get away with it for a moment, but at the end, that trail will we can trace the trail back to that lie. And God has his ways of exposing those things, and he certainly will do that. And actually, the words that we say, including our lying, is being recorded in heaven. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." That's a sobering verse to consider, isn't it? And so we need to know that lying will catch up with us. The third thing I would say is pray that God would give you victory over lying. And this is where I come back to the fact that even as a believer, sometimes we do struggle with that. Sometimes we are tempted in these areas. Proverbs 30, verse 8, and it's really a prayer where it says, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying." As believers, yes, we still live in a world of lies. And therefore, we need God's help and we need God's power to help us to be a truthful people. Our flesh can certainly be tempted to believe the lie that lying is okay, as virtually everyone is doing it. And I think often we do what we do because we look at the majority and what they're doing. We are inundated by a world full of lies, and it's different today than it's been even decades ago, because now there's so much out there, because now we have social media, and now we have the internet, and now we can access the news through all of those mediums. I mean, it's everywhere, and so the line isn't just in regard to the people that I personally know or have relationships with. The line is just, it's just like a sea of lies with all of the access that we have to things and people and what people are saying all over the world today. Today, people are lying about things that are obviously not even true. A woman can say today that she is a man. A man says that he's a woman. A person says that they're a horse or a cat. I mean, ridiculous out of my mind, boggling things that people are saying and lying about that are obviously not true. And today, and again, we have to understand, today, if we state the obvious truth, well, we're canceled, we're called crazy, we're called people that hate, right? Because our culture hates truth. Proverbs 19, verse 22 says, a poor man is better than a liar. You're better off having nothing and being a truthful, honest person who has integrity than to have riches and to lose your integrity by lying. And then the last thing, and really probably the most obvious point to be made here tonight on this commandment, is speak the truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth, even if you have to deal with the consequences of telling the truth. Speak the truth, even if you get in trouble for telling the truth. Speak the truth, even if people don't like the truth. And of course, we are to speak the truth lovingly and graciously. But I think one thing today within our culture, we must realize that we will have to pay the price to speak the truth, because our culture is offended by the truth. But truth should be characteristic as to who we are as believers. It should be one of the earmarks of who we are as believers. These are people that speak the truth. Because we're a people that affirm the objective truth of Scripture, right? As believers, we need to continually then saturate ourselves with truth. Parents, we need to continue to teach our children truth so that we and them with us can discern the sea of lies that are around us constantly. And so that we can stand on the truth and to represent the God of truth. Proverbs 12, verse 17 says, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. And then let me just close with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, that says, therefore, having put away falsehood. And so there's an expectation that as believers, we're not liars. Maybe we used to be liars before we became a believer, but if you became a believer, that should be put away. So therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And so let us be a people of truth, always speaking the truth for the glory of God, who is a God of truth. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you that we can always look to it and know that everything that is contained within your word is truth, because you are truth. Lord, as a people that you've made your own, I pray that we would become a people of truth. I pray that you'd protect us from the temptation of lying, and that you'd protect us from going down that path of destruction. And Lord, I pray that for those that may struggle with this, I pray that you would give them victory over this area by your Spirit and through your word. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be a people that are committed to the truth, that are committed to your word, so that we can discern the sea of lies that are all around us and the things that we hear. God, help us to be an example of you to those that don't know you by being a people of truth. And I pray that you would be glorified in our lives through that. Give us strength and give us power to do the things that you've called us to do. Again, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.